from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Oakland-based author Daniel Alarcón's acclaimed 2000 novel, Lost City Radio, features a radio show that played a powerful role in an unnamed South American country by reuniting people missing or displaced by war. Now, Alarcón has launched a radio program in Spanish in the style of This American Life. He wants to bring personal stories that reflect the wide range of experience of Latinos in the United States and Spanish speakers across the globe. And he joins us for Forums next hour, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this hour of our forum program. Radio Ambulante, a monthly produced Spanish-speaking radio program modeled after such public radio programs as This American Life, Snap Judgment, and Radiolab, was launched by, actually no longer Oakland-based, now San Francisco-based, Peruvian-American author Daniel Alarcón, author of the highly praised novel Lost City Radio and the short story volume War by Candlelight. He's a contributing editor of Granta and also served as associate editor of Etiqueta Negra and has published in The New Yorker, Harper's, Virginia Quarterly Review, among others, and named as one of The New Yorker's 20 under 40. He's a visiting scholar at UC Berkeley Center for Latin American Studies, and Radio Ambulante is made up of a network of journalists and storytellers from around the Americas. Daniel Alarcón joins us in studio for this forum hour, and bienvenidos. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Glad to have you here. Good morning. Well, the thing that people should know right off is you've got sort of a real pedigree as far as radio goes.
Yeah, yeah. I feel fortunate that way. My father started calling soccer games in southern Peru when he was very young, 14. He was the voice of Peru and the voice of soccer in southern Peru, and I think I definitely inherited some of that.
And you have a novel about radio. Actually, it goes back to Busca Personas, if I have it correct, which was a radio program trying to find people. Your uncle was one of them, actually. That was sort of what spurred you on.
Well, we definitely had a family story that was related to that. But Busca Personas is a show that I used to listen to quite a bit, and sort of felt like it got at a really dramatic and essential truth about Lima in the late 90s.
So people who would disappear, they were often on the left as guerrillas, or just would disappear for whatever reason.
Yeah, or for whatever reason. I think there was a couple things happening, and this is something that I tried to talk about a lot in my novel, was that there are economic displaced people, economically disappeared people, and politically disappeared people. And the novel tried to tell some of that story, you know?
And then the BBC actually hired you to do a story on Andean migration to Lima, didn't they? Or you got involved with the BBC?
That was actually, I would say, the impetus, the immediate sort of spur to start Radio Ambulante. I was asked after Lost City Radio came out to host a radio documentary about Andean migration to Lima. And of course, I jumped at the chance, being that radio's in my blood, being that I'd written a novel about radio. And yeah, I was really excited to do it, and they sent this great producer named Gavin Hurd from London to accompany me, and I really liked the rhythm of it. I really liked how much I was pushed to think in different ways and do these interviews on the fly. And but I was frustrated with the finished product. I didn't get to go to London and do the edit myself. And in the course of the editing process, I guess they left a lot of the Spanish speaking voices out. Which makes sense. You know, a 45-minute radio documentary on the BBC can't be all voiceovers. But I was frustrated. You know, I was frustrated. And I kept wondering, what would it sound like if we had a space on the radio for narrative in Spanish? How would these stories fit? How would they be told? And what's lost if we have it all in English?
Well, there are a lot of Spanish radio stations now, but they're not necessarily telling these stories.
The Spanish radio stations in the United States are doing really important work, I should say. I mean, you know, not just entertaining people, but also important community work, organizing people, educating the community about their rights, health issues, you know, politics. All these things are obviously very important. I'm a novelist. You know, I come from that world of literature. I come from that world of storytelling. And for me, you know, I'm looking for the space that celebrates stories, you know, and I guess that's what's missing from Spanish language radio in the U.S. and bizarrely from Spanish language radio in Latin America and Spain. You know, I think that was one of the most surprising things that we discovered when we set out to start this project, was that there was nothing like this. There was nothing like what we were looking for. And we did extensive research in, you know, all over Latin America and Spain. We just didn't find it, you know. And
so there's a need, and you're filling the need. And I used to wear a T-shirt that said Radio Theater of the Mind. And these are stories, these are very personal stories, as I said in my introduction. And we'll hear a bit of the work that you've done here. I want the listeners to get a feel for it. Some of it's in Spanish, but also it's available in English and on iTunes, and you can stream it from the website, radioambulante.org, or download it from downcloud.com, the individual pieces. We'll talk about them, but first, I'm just interested in the differences for you between fiction and radio. I guess it's no secret to my listeners, our listeners, that I was a long aspiring novelist who never quite made it or didn't hear, as Terry Gross once said, maybe the voices weren't there or whatever. But those are imaginative voices. Those are sort of altered states of consciousness, whereas we make the separation often between journalism and real stories or narratives. They're both stories. They're storytelling. But talk
sure.
about that.
Well, you know, when you said the radio theater of the mind, I was thinking, you know, literature theater of the mind. You know, to me, they're really very similar. It's not being a radio producer now or working with Radio Ambulante doesn't, for me, seem like a break from what I used to do. It seems absolutely complementary. To tell stories in sound is just a different way of celebrating narrative. For me, radio gives you a great opportunity. You know, it gives you the opportunity to go out and talk to people and build those real stories and also tell them in very creative ways. Obviously, I continue to write novels and I continue to write fiction. So,
well, you're fortunate; you got both going for you. I feel there is a bifurcation. A lot of people do that. You use your imagination. You create characters.
I don't buy that.
Fiction.
Yeah, I don't mean, to me, narrative is narrative. You know, I think stories are what's important. And I've been doing nonfiction journalism for years, and I feel like I draw from the same toolbox. You know, I still observe people. I still try to understand what's going on, and I still try to describe it and use beautiful prose, and all those things are just part of my everyday.
One is a true story and one is not a true story, right? Fiction, supposedly, although it can be based on true facts and often is, is imagination, and you make it up as you go along.
I mean, this is going to sound ridiculous, but that's a detail. I mean, yes, one is true and one is not true, but that, you know, beyond that small detail, I think creatively you can still do a lot.
No, I would agree with you there. But the word fiction means not real.
Right? Sure.
And yet when you do stories on the radio, we try to present things people would accuse us otherwise, but pretty much follow the facts. You're not following the facts.
Yeah. No, we do. Well, let me be very, very clear. With Radio Ambulante, if it's presented as nonfiction, it's nonfiction. You know, it's absolutely true. We didn't make up. We don't have actors. You know, this is the way it is. But I think when I was saying that it's similar in that it satisfies that same creative impulse that I would the same creative itch that I have to scratch with my fiction.
I should mention, by the way, you can download it on these individual pieces on SoundCloud. I think I misspoke and said SoundCloud.com. You've also said that, and this gets into questions of identity, and I'm just curious about this because with 55 million Spanish speakers in the United States, that you consider yourself Norteamericano, and that you don't that maybe this is a Latin American country, the United States. I remember having a student, a Peruana, in fact, who said, "Why do you call it American literature? It should be called, you know, North American literature, or literature of the Americas, or whatever." But yet we have these distinctions too between Norteamericanos, Americans, and those of the Hispanic speaking world.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the premises of a project like Radio Ambulante is that, you know, borders, political borders exist, but cultural borders don't. You know, so 55 million Spanish speakers in the United States, that's more than Peru, the country I was born in. No one would question that Peru is a Latin American country. So why would we question that the United States is, you know? And this isn't, to me, this doesn't sound controversial. It just sounds like a recognition of a demographic reality.
You also grew up in Alabama, which is like a different country from living in the Bay Area, isn't it?
Of course.
Talk about cultural borders or cultural differences.
Sure, and you know, I also, you know, remember very clearly reading an interview with Garcia Marquez where he appropriated Faulkner and called him a Latin American writer. You know, so I grew up in the South, and the South is the region that most approximates sort of the place where Garcia Marquez was writing, you know. So to me, I haven't ever drawn those hard and fast lines. I don't think they're necessary, and I don't think they're real.
Is the idea, since you mentioned Garcia Marquez, the idea of magical realism, is that a real genre to you? Because, I mean, Rushdie was just on here about a week ago when he was in town about his autobiography, his memoir, Joseph Anton. He writes what I think would be, Toni Morrison writes what we would call magical realism, and yet it's identified so much with Latin America.
Yeah, I think it's a marketing tool. I think magical realism is just a phrase to put on the back of a book. I don't think that, I know that Garcia Marquez doesn't really think much of the term and certainly wouldn't self-identify as a magical realist.
Is he getting Alzheimer's? Do you know? Is this what, no, this is what I've read. I just don't know if it's true.
I don't know if it's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope not.
I don't know anything about it.
Well, let's talk about some of the stories on Radio Ambulante. And if you just joined us, we're talking with Daniel Alarcón, who will be live at Litquake at the Mission Cultural Center in San Francisco tonight at 7 p.m. He's also in conversation with Paris Review editor Lauren Stein on Thursday, October 18th at 7 p.m. That's at Tosca in San Francisco. He's co-founder and executive producer of Radio Ambulante, award-winning author, War by Candlelight, Lost City Radio, and also associate editor of the monthly Peruvian magazine Etiqueta Negra, and an investigative reporting fellow at UC Berkeley School of Journalism. We had a lot of bona fides there to
keeps me busy.
Off. Yeah, well, busy is an understatement. Let's talk about some of these stories, though, that you've... I was actually reading an interview you did with Rumpus, and you were talking about gay soccer team in Mexico City and Guatemalan Jewish community and a shaman in Colombia who was involved in a scandal for not making it rain. I mean, this is a pretty broad swath you're covering here.
Well, I mean, I think that's by necessity. You know, we're talking about a very broad, diverse cultural region with, you know, more than 20 countries and so many different dialects, so many different cultures. You know, La Paz, Bolivia, you know, is very different from Montevideo, Uruguay, which is very different from, you know, the Bronx, New York, and we're trying to cover all of it. Wherever Spanish is spoken is our theme, our motto, one of our founding ideas. And
it's also spoken different in many of these places.
Absolutely.
I can attest to it. You know, you go to just over the border from Chile to Argentina, and the speed, the idioms, almost different languages in some ways.
Totally, totally. And that's one of the things I find really exciting about it. You can celebrate the diversity of these accents. And it's one of the things that I should say that Latinos living in the United States really, we learn, you know. You're a Peruvian living in San Francisco, you go to a party, you're going to meet Colombians and Chileans and Mexicans and Costa Ricans. If I live in Peru, I'm most likely just going to meet Peruvians, you know. And you start to have a sense of the broadness of the region and the diversity of the stories. And I think that is in no small part why, or one of the reasons behind Radio Ambulante.
How do you decide on stories then? I mean, aside from the diversity and the range and the whole Hispanic or Spanish-speaking world, what constitutes a story for you to pay attention to?
Well, I mean, you know, again, I'm a novelist. I think one of the things that I've learned is what makes an interesting, compelling story. I want something fascinating. I want a detail that really makes me curious. I want a turn. I want surprise. I want emotion. I want a good talker, you know, someone who can actually tell the story in a compelling way. I want reporters who have done radio before, ideally, although that's not an absolute necessity. I think it's important to have some basic chops and a sense of what how to recognize someone who can tell their story well. A good talker, I think, is important. And I want to be surprised. I don't want to hear the same stories about Latin America that you might hear, the same tropes repeated again and again. I want something that's much more engaging and subtle.
Well, we'll let our listeners hear some of the work from Radio Ambulante. This is a cut from a story called Exiles. And in this story, producer Annie Murphy was reporting on the overthrow of President Manuel Zelaya in Honduras and met a man, a diplomat, in the United States, exiled as a supporter of the president. And as she talked to him, it emerged that he was from a family of exiles. His grandfather was a Parisian who came to Honduras after killing a man in a duel over a woman. His father had to flee to Mexico for his political opposition, and Murphy told the story of this family living rich lives but away from their homelands.
The men in this family are skinny, with narrow beards and bright eyes. They remind me of the way I picture Don Quixote. And their story always makes me think of a line from that book. It goes, "For the sake of liberty, as well as honor, one can and should make life an adventure. For if not, captivity is the worst thing that can befall a man." With Rodolfo's family story, I think I finally understand that there are different kinds of captivity. The places you can get shut into, like a jail cell or your house, and the places you can get shut out of, like your homeland.
De donde vengo yo, la cosa no es fácil, pero siempre igual sobrevivimos.
There you're hearing a cut from Radio Ambulante from the story Exiles, and these are, I mean, again, getting back to what you said before, these are not necessarily, Daniel Alarcón with us in studio, not necessarily the kinds of stories being heard on Spanish-speaking radio.
Yeah, this was an English language bonus track that we put out with our first episode. Annie, who reports for Latin America for NPR and was also an investigative reporting fellow at Berkeley, went and actually spoke with Zelaya, went to Honduras and spoke with Zelaya. And for our first episode, Moving, we got the inside story, the personal, intimate story of a man overthrown in a coup. You know, it's not the story you hear the headlines, but you don't get this kind of intimate storytelling.
His backstory too was, the grandfather was on a boat. They were fighting over a woman. They got in a duel. He shot the guy.
Right. So this was a bonus track that went along and that complemented that first story that I mentioned. It is. It's an exciting, funny, sad but also hopeful story.
It's a compelling transgenerational story. I mean, it has, again, to get back to your point before, dovetailing with what you were saying, sort of the outline of an epic or a novel, but it's all congested very well into radio format. But what about the difference between, you've done some translation, and I've read things in Spanish and they have an entirely different meaning than when I read them in English. And the same thing with what I hear when it's translated. I mean, the translations are pretty distinct, and sometimes never the twain, shall meet. Your thoughts about that?
About translating?
Well, about translating, particularly what you lose in translation, to use a famous phrase from...
I obviously something's lost, and obviously that's part of what we do, Radio Ambulante, nuance is lost, the sort of details that emerge from a person's voice, the things that they're telling you just by the way they speak, not by the content of their words. You don't hear the tone of voice when there's a voiceover. You don't hear the emotion there. It's sometimes robbed of all those elements. Having said that, I read in translation. I listen to radio from countries, different languages I don't speak, because you have to. You have to be open to those things. And I think that's.
Yeah, but you write in both languages, although you've never written about Peru in Spanish, as I understand it.
I've written about Alabama in Spanish.
But not Peru.
Not Peru, no.
What's going on there?
Yeah,
lie down on my couch.
Yeah, that's pretty easy to figure out, I think.
Well, let's hear another cut from Radio Ambulante. And in this story, your producer, Roxandra Guadi, is following a U.S. border guard named Angelica de Sima. And this is during rush hour. It's at the world's busiest border crossing in Tijuana, and she's there when they get a code 915, and that means they found a car that's smuggling people.
You see this every day, people trying to come into the country hidden in the trunks, and even deeper concealment methods, like a specially built compartment. A lot of times we call them coffin compartments. People cannot get out of them, and it is dangerous.
To say that it's dangerous is an understatement. It's a rectangular box made up of pinewood planks and metal sheets held by wires and rigged to the undercarriage of this old car. It's so low to the ground, it must have been banged up so many times along the ride.
Yeah, they've been in there for a while.
I'm with Angelica and about a dozen other guards, and we're all gathered around the old cream-colored Honda. Everyone's eyes are on that trunk. In one of the guards, a young Latino guy with a heavy build and jet black intense eyes reaches into it and deeper still into the makeshift compartment underneath it. I stop breathing for a moment and look around. We're all staring shamelessly as if trying to predict who or what will come out. The young guard grabs onto a hand ever so carefully and then pulls out the whole arm. Then the shaking and sweaty body of a kid, probably 15 or 16. He has indigenous features and a skinny, long body. He looks terrified, and my heart sinks as we make quick eye contact. He isn't saying a word, but then again, what could he say? The Honda's engine is still running, spewing smoke right into our faces. Then the guard reaches in again. And again. And then again, three more people come out of this space, an absolutely impossible number, emerging from under this tiny car.
It's a compelling story and compelling reporting. Very well done. These stories, we should emphasize, are heard in Spanish. I mean, we're getting translations of them.
We've just heard our two English language bonus tracks. So right. We are producing English language stuff. Ruxandra Guidi's piece was produced for our first live event, which was in Los Angeles in the summer.
And how are you distributing? You're on podcast now only, or?
Yeah, right now we're on iTunes and on the website and on SoundCloud. Starting in the beginning of the year, we're going to be breaking up our episodes into individual stories, and those will be hopefully on radio stations all over the U.S. and Latin America. So we're actually spending this fall finishing up a lot of material and then start releasing on a biweekly basis, hopefully, to stations all over.
You did a story here in San Francisco about transgender a marriage that wound up with one of the partners becoming transgender.
Yeah, that's one of the pieces we're working on, yeah.
And working on Uruguay ex-guerrilla. I mean, it's, again, a really wide range, covering lots of bases here in lots of countries, creating a major net, as it were.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal, you know, and because I've been working with Etiqueta Negra, you know, I know a lot of journalists, and each individual member of the team, Carolina Guerrero, my wife, and Martina Castro, and Nancy Lopez, and Camila Segura, and, you know, Annie Murphy, everybody's bringing something to the table, and everyone has connections and storytellers that they know. And we're able to identify, you know, the people who can help us, people who can tell the right story and really, really bring something.
Well, I'm going to open our phone lines and invite those of you listening to join us. And please feel free to join the conversation. Questions or comments, obviously, for Daniel Alarcón about Radio Ambulante, about his fiction work, but also larger questions about what serves, particularly in the world of radio, a large community of Spanish speakers. As we said earlier, we're talking about 55 million, and I know there are many of you who are Spanish speakers who listen to this program, and you may want to weigh in here. We welcome your phone calls. Our toll-free number is available to you, and you can join us now. That number is 866-733-6786. Again, feel free to call us, 866-733-6786. And I'll also ask a question. When you listen to someone like Ira Glass, or when you listen to a program like This American Life, what kind of stories do you like? Daniel Alarcón's emphasizing surprise and compelling stories, but what do you particularly like to hear? You can join us by email, forum@kqed.org. You can also let us know what your thoughts are by going to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, or go to our Facebook page, or tweet us, and our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. But feel free to join us, and you can again join us live by phone at 866-733-6786. We'll continue with our guest, Daniel Alarcón. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're spending the hour with Daniel Alarcón, who is... are you in a relation, by the way, to Christiane Alarcón? Fiction writer?
No. No, I have a quasi-cousin named Christian Alarcón from Argentina. Are you talking
That's
about
That's who I was talking about. Is that his name? Is it Christiane?
Christiane is...
He's an Argentinian,
yeah,
writer.
But he doesn't write fiction. He doesn't write fiction. He writes journalism.
I thought he was also a fiction writer, but we're talking about the same person.
Maybe.
He is a cousin.
It's not a super common...
No, I wouldn't think so. Let me again say that the Daniel Alarcón is co-founder and executive producer of Radio Ambulante and also award-winning author of War by Candlelight and Lost City Radio, and is associate editor of the monthly Peruvian magazine Etiqueta Negra, investigative reporting fellow at UC Berkeley School of Journalism. Let's also mention once more that Radio Ambulante Live will be at Litquake at the Mission Cultural Center. It will be subtitled. That's in San Francisco tonight, October 9th at 7 p.m. And he'll also be in conversation with Paris Review editor Lauren Stein on Thursday, the 18th of October at 7 p.m. at Tosca in San Francisco. Radio Ambulante has also become, we should mention, an educational tool. I mean, even at this point, you've got that Palabra Prohibida, for example, and, mm-hmm. and teachers saying that they're really using, just like This American Life is used in the classroom, just like Forum is used in the classroom.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if you are someone who's studying Spanish, you're not going to find another place where you'll be able to hear all the different accents, all the different you know, regionalisms and hear them in this context with a really sophisticated storytelling, well-produced stuff.
With global reach, really.
With a global reach, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we're getting emails from people all over who are incorporating into their classrooms, and obviously that's something we're really happy with.
It's a challenge, though, because the cultures are so different. Are you trying to find something, an essential or, you know, what's needed by this very widespread and diverse cultural audience of different cultures?
You know, I think we have at least two audiences. Broadly speaking, you know, our audience of U.S. Latinos who feel some connection to the country, their country of origin, their parents' country of origin. And that's definitely a big part of who we serve. But we also get emails from you know, we've gotten visits to our website from 100 countries. And we get emails from Colombia, from Uruguay, from Peru, from Argentina, from Mexico, from Spain. And this is really important. And I think we can't serve both and exclude one group or exclude one the other. I think we want to tell stories that are human, and that in itself will bring in the audience. To me, I mean, as a novelist, I never think about who my reader might be. And as a radio producer, I'm still trying to bring the sensibility, that same sensibility. I just want to tell a great story, and then I think people will care about the story. I think they will like it. I think that we're sometimes given this fiction that, you know, Mexicans will only care about a story from Mexico and Colombians will only care about a story from Colombia. We're discovering with Radio Ambulante that that's absolutely not true.
How political do you want to be?
You know, I mean, I get asked that with my fiction, too. I don't think that I don't hide my political beliefs. I think that a story is a story. And when you're writing whatever you happen to feel politically, that's going to come out one way or another. But, you know, Radio Ambulante is not an activist organization. You know, there are certain core beliefs that we have that are, you know, foundational to our project. And, you know, definitely those things will come out.
Well, we'll have our callers come out, too. We'll start with Paola from Berkeley. Good morning.
Hey there. Good morning. So I just like to share that the stories that I think I would really like to hear are the harrowing stories of you know, people crossing the border and making it to the United States. You know, stories of people have to cross all of Mexico, wherever it is they're coming from. Those are incredible stories of determination, of bravery. You get a mixture of everything. And so, and I think that, you know, people who make it to the United States, who've put their lives on the line, those are really interesting, compelling stories because everybody's different. And there's women who are pregnant, who are crossing, the fear. So anyway, so those are the stories I think are really worth hearing.
Well, that could be a whole series for you, couldn't it?
Yes, totally.
Yeah, well, we you know, our first episode was called Mudanzas, or Moving, and we're actually going to, Nancy Lopez, one of our producers, is going to be performing one of those pieces this evening. There's a great story called Los Polizones, The Stowaways, and it involves a Peruvian coming to the United States in the hold of a ship in 1959, and he tells the story, and it's riveting. It's just an absolutely surprising and beautiful piece of radio. So yeah, I invite you to come out tonight, Paola, and hear that piece live.
And thank you for the call, Paola. And we'll go to another caller, and that's Cecilia. Good morning.
Good morning. I am from Peru, and I was very interested in listening to
this. I'm sorry, we're having a hard time hearing you, Cecilia.
Oh, I have a bad voice. because I got surgery.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, can you understand me?
Yes, now you're coming across. Thank you.
Okay. I'd like to touch with him, because I have a very good story for him about my father's involvement in the revolution in Kipa, 1950. And he was the only one exiled out of the revolution.
You know, I know. Yeah. I'm sorry, Cecilia, go ahead.
No, I think she's asking you how, and probably a lot of people want to know this, if they have a good story, how can they find you and how can they submit?
Yeah, right on our website we have all our contact information, but we receive emails at contacto@radioambulante.org for any story ideas or any pitches. Funny you mentioned the revolution of 1950 in Arequipa, because I actually know a bit about it because my family is from Arequipa. So I'd love to hear that story, Cecilia. And hopefully you will get in touch with us. It's contacto@radioambulante.org.
And good luck to you, Cecilia. Here's a listener, Patricia, who writes, Radio Ambulante is a wonderful initiative. I'm a regular listener to This American Life, and I always thought that it would be great to have something similar in Spanish to be used in the classroom. There are some programs like that in Spanish radio, but I wanted something that exposed my students to all accents instead of having to cull stories from programs all over the Spanish-speaking world. Last time I checked, StoryCorps had 3 stories in Spanish for free on their website, but I always wondered why not have more. Now there are, thanks to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Patricia.
Another listener writes, I have a question about your story, Second Lives, which appeared in The New Yorker. It is set in an unnamed South American country, and the narrator is a boy whose older brother goes to live in the United States, in Alabama. The South American country is collapsing, and the family pins much of its hopes for the future on the older son. What was the origin of the story, and how much is autobiographical? Which I'm sure you've been asked to more than you probably even care to be asked.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's funny. We were mentioning earlier that I've written about Alabama in Spanish. I backed into writing those Alabama scenes by writing them first in Spanish. A lot of those memories are autobiographical. The characters in the story are invented, and my family situation was slightly different. I think like all writers, you take a little from here, take a little from there, and rework it, and boom.
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 You hope boom. Boom. Yeah.
Well, hopefully boom. Yeah.
And Daniel Alarcon.
Often not.
It's with us. You hope for a sonic boom, something of that nature. There's also a story that Radio Ambulante did about names and about 2 characters who were named Eduardo. You want to talk about that?
Oh, God, I love that story. Our producer Camila Segura, who will be performing that story this evening at the Mission Cultural Center. It's about 2 guys, one from Colombia, one from Argentina, who are both named Eduardo Bechara, which in itself is not that big a deal, but they're both writers and they are identical. They look exactly alike. And they become friends, and in the course of becoming friends, they discover that, in fact, their lives have overlapped in a number of ways, a number of coincidences that are startling, until they are sort of forced and sort of accept willingly the press demands that they take a DNA test. So the story is really, really beautiful, really moving, funny, bizarre, and I think it'll be really well performed tonight because we have images, so you'll actually be able to see that this is not a radio exaggeration. We'll be able to show you exactly
how much they look alike.
How much they look alike.
You also did a story about an Argentinian soccer club. Was it called River Plate?
River Plate, yeah.
Yeah, River Plate, okay.
Yeah.
What drew you to that story?
Well, that's a story that Cristian Alarcón did.
Your cousin who does not write fiction.
My cousin who's a journalist, one of the best journalists in Latin America, I should say. River Plate is like the Yankees. So imagine if the Yankees got demoted to the minor leagues. Basically, the story is about the soccer announcer who, in the last game when they were being demoted, lost his mind in the last 20 minutes, cursed everyone, basically did a 20-minute love letter / rant / heartbroken appeal on the air, full of cursing and crying and weeping. And we did an interview with him 3 months later. And he told the story of what it felt like, you know, what it felt like to lose your head in that moment on live radio.
Thinking about just cultural differences, Argentina, you go to Argentina and everything seems to be kind of inundated, ubiquitous with soccer and tango, you know. I mean, there's that distinct sense of, again, the identification of each culture being so different, not only in language, but in really the makeup of his culture, almost like a different civilization in many respects. Are you trying to get underneath some of that, or are you trying to get more to the universal?
No, I think the universal comes from the specific. You know, I'm a real believer in, you know, we're not going to translate a reality or simplify it. We're going to tell it the way it is in all its complexity and contradictions and beauty. And I think that people will respond to that.
Well, let's get some more calls. And by the way, you can join us at our toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786. If, in fact, you have a thought about what would make a great story for Radio Ambulante, I'm sure Daniel Alarcón would love to hear what it is. And you can also email us, forum@kqed.org. And let's go to a call. Good morning. You're on Forum. Juan Carlos, hello.
Oh, hi. Sorry, I didn't know it was me. First of all, Mr. Com, buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
I live here in the Bay Area, and I'm very glad you're bringing stories about the Latin experience here in North America, both fiction and real. But I'm very curious in other stories about how people live here in America and the struggles that they have in simple things as just, you know, access to a good place where they can go hike, in access to transportation to go to this park. I work at Wildcare, a local organization, and it's baffling to me to find out that it's just hard for people to do something as simple as to spend time outdoors, do exercise, and find good and real healthy food.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I appreciate that work. I think, you know, we want to tell stories that are, you know, that reveal sort of unexpected aspects of life and unexpected struggles. So yeah, that definitely. Thanks for the call.
And thank you for the call, indeed. I think how much of your own perspective? I mean, you're a Peruvian writer. Peruvian-born, Peruvian-American writer, Norte Americano writer, but, you know, you have and lived in Alabama. A lot of these shards of your own identity obviously have come together and fused. And I suppose in some ways do you identify yourself as sort of the next generation from writers like Vargas Llosa, I mean, the next generation of Peruvian writers, or do you see yourself more as an American writer or both?
Well, there's a couple generations between Vargas Llosa and myself.
Actually, his son has been on here, and his son is older than you are.
But yeah, his son is, yeah.
But, you know, he was really staked out a big claim in terms of...
Sure. You know, I'm proud of the fact that I'm considered a Peruvian writer in Peru, and I'm proud of the fact that I'm considered an American writer here. I don't see any contradiction. I don't, when I sit down and write, think about, you know, whether I'm one or the other. And in terms of Radio Ambulante, you know, I should say that the editorial direction, you know, comes out of conversations with the entire editorial team, you know, and that's everyone from the executive director, Carolina Guerrero, you know, to producer Nancy Lopez, to Camila Segura and Martina Castro and Annie Murphy and Annie Correal. There's a whole team behind us. So it's not just my sensibility. It's a group project. It's all of us sort of pushing.
Collectivist decisions and pretty much like a team running?
Well, you know, radio's nice that way, man. I mean, you know, you write a novel, it's just you. It's just you and the page for 5 years, and it's awful. It's just brutal, brutal, brutal. And a novel is something that I don't recommend anyone attempt to do ever. Whereas radio is collaborative. Radio is, by nature, going out in the world and talking to people and then bringing back those stories and sharing them. And because... the only way to edit is by replicating the experience of listening, then we've got to do it out loud and we've got to do it in a group. And I really appreciate that.
Well, we both love radio and we both realize how collaborative it is. Any reflections on living in the Bay Area and the Latino community here, particularly is it different than those? Well, it's obviously, one would presume, different than Latino community in Alabama, but what's distinctive here for you?
I think what I mentioned earlier, that you can go... to any social event and meet people from every country. I think that's one of the things that I really like about it. You know, Peruvians are, we're supposed to have you know, serious, a bitter relationship with Chileans. There's like six Chileans on my soccer team, and we all get along. And I think, you know, those kinds of concerns and rivalries that might seem important in Latin America here disappear. And, you know, you realize how much you share and culturally and linguistically, and that sort of builds friendships.
That informs your show or the spirit behind you, the ethos of your show?
I think so.
There's also a story about a woman boxing champ in Peru.
One we're working on, yeah. Kina Malpartida is the world champion boxer from Peru.
She's from Lima?
She's from south of Lima, from this surfing town. The same town, actually, where Sofia Mulanovic, who's the best women surfer in the world. They were childhood rivals. Once one was a surfer, and then Kina became a boxer later.
During the boom, that is the economic boom, the Silicon Valley boom, whatever you want to call it, there were a lot of shows that appeared on radio, on the web. Many of them were talk shows, in fact, mm-hmm. and they had short futures. I think there's a real future for Radio Ambulante, but you want to extend your wings. You want to be on radio stations as well, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think we need to be on radio stations. You know, in Latin America specifically, there isn't yet the penetration of smartphones, and people don't have the habit of downloading podcasts. So we have to be on the radio, or else we're not going to have the listeners we want. We keep getting these emails, and everyone who listens to the program is impressed and writes us and is excited about it. But we're just not yet getting the kind of listenership we'd like. And until we get on the radio, I don't think we will.
Well, what about penetrating radio markets, for example, in Latin and South America? They're very tied into, as commercial radio is here, to advertisers.
Yeah, but there's in every market has its, you know, 1, 2, 3 renegade radio stations that are doing different things, doing exciting things. So I don't think that we'll have a difficult time finding these outlets. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just being optimistic. But I do think that there are people who are willing, who've already written us, actually, and who are excited about taking this risk.
In the time remaining, I'd like to throw the question out to listeners, particularly if they listen to Spanish-language-speaking radio, if you feel there are maybe holes in the programming, or what you find in listening that attracts you and that engages you and that is compelling to you and important for those of you who have had that experience or have that experience. I know that there are people, hate to admit it, but they go around the dial. They don't necessarily mm-hmm. keep the dial frozen on KQED, hard as that may be
shocking
to believe for our, you know, ardent listeners. But you may want to weigh in here. And if you do, the toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786, or email us forum@kqed.org. I mentioned Vargas Llosa before, and reading something that you said about reading Tia Julia, and the scriptwriter, the first time you read it, it went completely over your head.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a fascinating story because, I mean, as you became more knowledgeable about, well, the nuances, the subtleties of his writing and really the cultural depth of his writing,
mm-hmm.
entirely different experience. But
yeah.
You had to go through that earlier experience first?
Yeah, I mean, I read him when I was 13 or 14. I read a translation and, I just didn't get any of the jokes. I didn't realize that it was a hilarious book. Then I read it again, you know, in my early 20s. And it's still one of my favorite novels. It's so funny and also so brilliantly constructed, I should say, which is what I usually admire about Vargas Llosa, as much as his humor and his audacity, is the meticulous structural, the architecture of his books.
Who else do you admire? Fiction writers. You a big admirer of Borges?
Yeah, of course. I read so much Borges when I was writing Lost City Radio, but none of that is in the book, you know, unfortunately. And I think it's always going to be a huge disappointment to me. Roberto Bolaño is you know, certainly one of my heroes. But you know, I don't just limit myself to Latin American writers. I read a lot of European and American writers as well. And
you mentioned Faulkner before.
I haven't read Faulkner in a while, but I went through a phase of Faulkner. Chekhov, I go back to again and again. I think that's the one sort of touchstone.
Almost as good as it gets as far as short story writing. I mean, Chekhov.
And you know, the novellas are astounding. Yeah. I got to say, just astounding.
And so are the plays, really.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Faulkner, and I was just telling somebody the other day, I think maybe the great, if there is such a thing as a great American novel, or one of the greatest masterpieces in American novel writing, is The Sun and the Fury, although it's admittedly not the most accessible of novels. But, you know, he never felt he got it right. He went back 18 years later and wrote an appendix to that novel, and even that time he didn't feel was right. You have that feeling when you finish a novel that, you know, you could have done more, you should have done more, you might have done more?
Well, I've only finished two, so I think it's a bit of pressure to go back and rework them when I've only done two. I think I can't believe that I finished this last one, honestly. So I'm not even pretty satisfied with what you've. I'm not going to start critiquing it just yet. It was such a struggle that I think I should give myself that benefit of the doubt for a second.
But Lost City Radio, you don't want to go back and change?
No. I'm happy with it. I'm proud of it.
Let's go to our calls. Roxanne, good morning.
I just connected with the radio, and I'm very proud to hear a young Peruvian is telling their story. I'm a half Peruvian, half Iranian, and would like to see, because there's nothing out there, of more storytelling of families that are product of two cultures or three cultures, and how they always go back home and relate to their old grandma's story or cooking and so on.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that we're very interested in is the complexity of cultural inheritance, because we aren't just one thing. And I think that's something that we as Radio Ambulante wanna showcase. I think from the United States, you often get a sense of Latin America as a monolithic region, and those of us who are from Latin America know that's just not the case. So complexity and nuance and all those things are, you know, yeah, bring it. Please.
And hybrid identity, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fascinating stuff. And Roxanne, thank you for your call. I want to get another caller on. Johnny, it's you. Hi.
Good morning. Actually, great topic today. I'm also a Peruvian who happens to live here in San Francisco. And I agree with you. There are no many radio stations in Spanish, I would say, in the Bay Area, but pose many intellectual topics, so glad to hear that Radio Ambulante is a choice that I can hear through my iPhone or through another smart device.
Great. Yeah, please sign up on iTunes. That's great, Johnny. Thank you.
Thank you, Johnny. And again, you can actually experience some of Radio Ambulante tonight live at Litquake at the Mission Cultural Center. That's at 7 p.m., and there will be subtitling for those of you who are not fluent or don't know Spanish. Maria is calling us from San Antonio. That's down in Texas. Hi.
Hi, buenos dias. I want to ask Daniel if they are planning to come to San Antonio, maybe to Austin, with a deep passion of Radio Ambulante, because I think this will be great for all Latin people around here. Also, I want to, before you answer, Daniel, I also want to say thank you to Michael to bring this wonderful interview. And thank you, Daniela, and I congratulate all your team and you for Radio Ambulante. Now you can answer, please.
De nada, señora. Gracias.
Thank you. Thank you, Maria. We'll always be coming to San Antonio. And I mean Carolina and I, but, as a Radio Ambulante team, you know, we don't yet have the budget to put our show on the road, like say Radiolab does, but we will. We did LA earlier this year. We'd like to do Buenos Aires in May. We have, one of our partners is, Revista Amphibia, based in Cristian Alarcón's magazine, of course. Maria, we'd love to come to San Antonio or Austin or, you know, Miami or New York.
And
so
when you do, make
enough.
Sure you look up Maria and find them.
She's my mother-in-law.
Oh, okay.
So I will definitely be looking her up.
Thank you for the call. Well, we do have a pretty wide stretch here. We got an email here from Barcelona. Tell us about how you got Radio Ambulante funded, and it ties in with Maria's call, and you plan on continue funding it in the future. Pros and cons of using Kickstarter.
Kickstarter was great for us. We pushed out a promo and maybe, you know, 20 minutes of produced audio and raised $46,000 in 6 weeks. Kickstarter is agile. It's dynamic. It's something that you can control. You can set the timing. It doesn't rely on the foundation model where you put in an application tomorrow and you hear back, you know, 12 months from now. And the money's yours. It's not, no strings attached. You don't, I mean, you have to create a project, but you don't have to you write your own project as you want to write it. You don't write it to fit the guidelines of a foundation. So for us, it was a great way to do exactly what it sounds like, which is Kickstart.
I thought it was a nice piece, actually. I happened to see that video that you did for Kickstart.
Oh, thank you.
Here's another caller named Paola. Good morning.
Hi there. This is Paola again from Berkeley. You know, Michael, you asked about what radio we listen to. So I'm Colombian, and I listen, and I do listen a lot to KQED, but I do listen to another radio station, and not so much to hear the music, but to hear the commercials in Spanish. And I do this more so to expose my son to hear that part of that loud, vivacious,
there is, you know, a style, isn't there?
There's a style,
a distinct,
you know,
style.
The other day, one station was advertising a movie of the week, and it was a Terminator movie, and it was dramatic, and he really gets a kick out of it. And I only speak Spanish to him, so he totally. So as a
este es que QD por ustedes. It's that kind of almost bellowing.
But you know, being bicultural, I mean, listening to some Spanish radio feeds that part of me that needs to hear the Spanish, needs to feed that part of me.
Yeah, I was going to say that you know, although we are often compared to This American Life, part of our production style and our sound aesthetic that Martina Castro and Nancy Lopez put together, it's not quite as sober as This American Life. And it's something we discussed, you know, how are we going to sound? And I think we have to sound a little more Latin, to put it another way.
Well, let me just read a Facebook comment from Eric, who says, I really enjoy any time when these stories, there are stories of people who are working to make lives better for others in Spanish-speaking countries, especially because I have family from Mexico and Guatemala. I get really tired of listening to drug cartel problems and poverty. It's important that what I'm looking for is solutions or action to problems.
Sure. That's there, too.
Good note to end on. Daniel, thank you for spending the hour with us.
Thank you, Michael.
Daniel Alarcón, and tonight, Radio Ambulante, live at Litquake at the Mission Cultural Center with subtitles at 7 p.m. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeat at 10 to 11 in the evening. Thanks to our senior editor, Dan Zoll, and to our producers, Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, and Amanda Stupai. Our engineer is Howard Gelman. Our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. And for all of us here at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.